Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we're brought to you by Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear, head sweats, function smart physical therapy, and our buddy Gino Cinco, and Babbittville Radio. You can check out all of our interviews on iTunes. My next guest, Brenda Martinez, who's actually just part of a world record-setting team in the distance medley relay. How cool is that to be a world record holder, Brenda?
Hi. Well, it feels good to be a record holder. New Balance put a really good team together, and I was really fortunate to be part of, breaking that record in Boston.
Well, not just breaking it. I mean, you guys shattered it. I mean, the record before was like 10:50, and you guys went 10:42.
Yeah.
So you guys destroyed it, and you were the anchor leg.
Yes. Yes, I was.
So when you run relays, you've been on a lot of relay teams IAAF. You've been on 4x800 and the 1500 relay teams. Is there more pressure involved when you're part of a relay team?
Yes, of course. You know, everyone wants to rely on everyone, and you just want to give it your best leg. But I feel like there's more pressure on the anchor leg.
Yes.
Because you have to finish the race strong. So, and I've been on every anchor leg possible for Team USA or, Team New Balance. So I'm really happy to feel that people want to rely on me to close. So I always try to give it my best.
Do you ever feel like, oh, my God, why can't I run like the third leg? Why do I have to always have to run the anchor?
Sometimes you get scared when you're going to compete, and
yeah.
Sometimes that kind of goes through my mind, but I'm like, no, they want me to do the anchor, and there's a reason why. So I try to just prepare months ahead and just try to feel my best on race day.
So people have seen, obviously, you take the bronze at the World Championships of 2013, and you've had so much success the last couple of years. People sometimes don't realize that coming out of the Olympic trials in 2012, you were pretty injured and weren't quite sure what was going to happen with the rest of your season, right?
Yeah. So 2012, I just had an injury. It was my tendon or my muscle, like around the peroneus longus muscle. And I just had no mobility in my ankle, and it just hurt to push off. So I was very injured and didn't really know what to do.
Yeah.
Was seeing different people, and I met Dan Selstead in Solana Beach, and I walked out of his office in like 15 minutes.
Was cured.
Yeah, I was walking fine with no pain, and I just remember calling my agent and saying, get me to Europe, I'm ready to race, I'm still fit. And I was able to go to Europe and then break 2 minutes, which was a huge deal for me, and it secured my next contract. So I was really glad I met Dan. He kind of saved my running career.
Well, but you think about it, you're going, gosh, if I had met him about 6 months earlier, I would have gone to the trials and made it to London.
Oh, yeah. That goes through my mind, but, everything happens for a reason, and, I can't complain. I came the next year around and, got a bronze medal. So,
yes.
I kind of just had to bite my time.
Was it surprising when Dan figured out what it was that other people hadn't figured out what it was? Because it sounds like it was, nothing is easy when it comes to the human body. But obviously, if he figured it out, other people should have been able to figure it out.
Dan is the type of person that just has so much experience that, like, from the minute I walked in here, he knew what the problem was.
Yeah.
And he just had that confidence that, we're going to fix it. He's like, I know your muscles may be a little bit pissed off, but we'll get there together. So, I drive 3 hours to go see him and 3 hours, to drive back home. So it's worth it. I'm pretty sure there's someone right at the bottom of the hill or even in town. But to me, I want to be loyal to him because he knows his stuff. So I'm not going to change anything. I'm going to keep him in my routine and whatnot.
You don't screw with a winning streak. Right?
You don't
mess with something that's working. So how often do you drive down to see Dan?
We try to schedule every other week. He does get pretty busy, and sometimes my schedule might conflict with his.
Right.
So we try to see him as often as we can. We just try to see, if he can just do maintenance work, even if it's just for 20 minutes. But I always try to schedule like 40 minutes.
So when you look at, you've got Dan, who's sort of your injury guy and an injury prevention guy. Then you've got Joe V. Hill. Talk a little bit about Joe and what he's brought to the table for you as an athlete and just the mental side of the game.
Yeah. So coach, he's just an amazing human being. And, you know, when I was first looking for a coach coming out of college, I wanted to look for the best coach in the world, you know, technically speaking. And,
yeah.
I did that. I kind of didn't expect him to help. I just wanted some sort of guidance on where I should go. So when he offered to help, I was kind of taken back by that. It goes for an even self-set as well. You know, you try to look for the best person in their field and, you know, who's masterful at their craft and whatnot. So I try to do that with the people that I led in my group or on my team. So, I'm just very fortunate with the small group that I have. It's a very strong, supportive group, and it's just working.
So when you think back, in 2012, what, you win the Fifth Avenue Mile, you win the Falmouth Mile. I mean, 2012 was a good year.
Yeah.
But obviously the goal is to go to the Olympics. And when you didn't make it to the Olympics, do you look back on that now, and has that helped fire you? Do you sort of use that as a little fire for the, you know, for the furnace to get you out the door?
Oh, of course. I think it is for anyone that, you know, maybe didn't make the team. But it's just a good reminder to have, like, hey, like, you know, you're kind of fell short of it, and you just want to improve on that. So obviously I'm a different athlete than I was 2012. More people are in my life that are going to help me get to the next level. You know, Dan, coach, my husband, my teammates, my support group, my agent. So all that, all of that was changing in 2012. Like, I was still trying to learn, and I made a lot of switches with coaches and agents. So I finally felt like I found my niche, and everyone's like just perfect for what they're doing.
So what did you learn about yourself going through that? I mean, you had so much success, and I'm sure you were thinking, I'm going to make the Olympic team. And then when that became obvious that that wasn't going to happen, what did you learn about yourself through all that?
You know, you have to just keep believing. You know, I got down on myself, and you just have to stay strong. You know, obviously everyone believes in themselves, but I just had to be really mentally tough in training, and, you know, carry that over to races. But it was really tough, and I'm still learning about myself. I, you know, every year I want to be smarter in training, you know, recover better, and just be faster overall, you know, with the strength and with the speed. Every year I'm always, you know, reaching these, like, stepping stones, and I'm getting better in, you know, the little things. So, it's always just about bettering myself, I think.
It's interesting right now with, you know, yourself and Sarah Brown and Jenny Simpson and Molly Huddle. I mean, it's really a great era of American women running. What do you think has led to that? Do the women train together? Obviously, this is a unique era where there's so much depth on the women's side in the U.S.
Yeah. We had a drought for a while.
We did. We did.
There's no girls breaking 4 minutes.
Right.
I don't know what the reason why, you know, everyone else around the world was. I would say Jenny Simpson was probably one of the girls, and Shannon Rilberry were the ones to be the ones to break 4 minutes and say, like, hey, we can do this as Americans. So little by little, more Americans were breaking four, getting close to the four-minute barrier. I was one of those athletes too. I ran all the way down to four flat. So, it's going to keep improving. And even to the 5K, Molly Huddle broke her American record. And she's only getting stronger. She's stronger on the roads as well. So now I feel like us as a whole, we can compete with the world. And obviously, you know, with the help of drug testing, a lot of the cheaters are out too. So, I think it's a good time for U.S. distance running.
Did it surprise you when some of those results started coming out of Kenya that some of the athletes were dirty, or was there sort of a rumors within the athletic community that, you know, something wasn't right with how fast people were running?
Yeah, I wasn't shocked. I mean, there's people in the U.S., people around the world, like, we're always going to have doping scandals. Yep. And, yeah, I mean, I try not to focus too much on it, but I am aware of what's going on.
Yes.
I guess the best thing that we have to do is just train harder and, you know, stay clean. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's something it hurts the sport just because we are working hard and they're taking it away from us. So I think it was 2012, I made the world indoor team, and I was the first one not to make the final. And there were three girls in my heat in the prelim that were, all three of them were coming off a doping ban, and they later got caught in the season again. So it's things like that where you just kind of get annoyed and you're like, you took that away from me. Like, I'm training really hard, and,
yes,
you know, I didn't make a final, which would have been a big deal for me.
Right.
So it's things like that.
Yeah, well, basically, yeah, it's stealing. It hurts everybody. So, what surprised me when you got the bronze at 2013 at the 800, that was the first American ever, first American woman ever at the World Championship. Did that surprise you? Did you know that no American had ever medaled there at 800?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it, like, before the race.
Yeah.
But I think when I got it, like, I didn't register, like, that was kind of, like, an
epic
accomplishment.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think I probably didn't realize it until I got home. Like, oh, crap, like, I didn't know, I forgot.
That's right.
So, yeah, it was so special to me.
Yeah, yeah. So, obviously, you've had a ton of success on the track. You've done some road, you've won some road miles, and you've run Carlsbad and finished fifth and fourth the last couple years at Carlsbad 5000. That race is probably as close to a track race as a road race can be with the crowds and everything. And this year it looks like with the new course, it's going to be more track-like. Do you like running the roads? And what is it about Carlsbad that you like?
Carlsbad is just a fast course, and it's very spectator-friendly. So the fact that they're actually changing the course,
yeah,
where it's going to be two loops, so we're going to see the crowd twice.
Yep.
It's going to be even more spectator-friendly. So I'm excited about that. So I think they said it's going to be a faster course.
It is, yeah.
Who was it? Tracy Sumlin told me it was going to be like 10 to 15 seconds faster. So I'm looking to improve all my time from last year. So that'll be kind of nice.
Well, so you went 15:44 2 years ago. Then last year, 15:24.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, we're talking under 15 this year. That'd be good.
Yeah, I think if I can get under like 15:10, I'll be really pleased.
That would
be
cool.
Yeah, I just want to be competitive.
That would be cool. Well, you know what? Well, I don't know the last time we've had an American win that race.
Oh, I think it's been a while, probably since Dina.
Probably since Dina, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but we're talking fifth and fourth. You're moving up the ranks there.
Yeah. Yeah, little by little, I'm inching my way up.
So what will the rest of your season look like after Carlsbad?
I will probably focus more on the 8. I probably won't do too many 1500s before USA Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably just get in maybe one or two at most, but the focus will be the 800. I will be competing in the 800 at USA Nationals.
I got it. And so that's the focus for the Olympics as well?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. That's cool.
Yep.
And altitude. You guys are up at Big Bear. And so how do you run at altitude every day, or are there some days you come down to sea level and run? How do you balance your training?
So Coach View will send us a monthly schedule, and you know, our plan is just to execute the workouts. So the workouts that we do, we'll do some down at sea level. The majority of the workouts are down. You know, we'll go to Pomona, we'll go to Claremont. It's quite a drive, but it's worth it because what we're doing is working. So we're going to continue that. But the stuff that I do up at altitude are my long runs and my easy days. So I do the bulk of my mileage up here. But yeah, we make it work. We have a plan, and we don't want to, you know, divert from the plan that's obviously been working for a while for us.
Yeah. I'm imagining, though, when you're up there during, you know, December, January, when it gets a little chilly out there, that you'd maybe rather be running here in San Diego.
I mean, if it gets too cold, obviously we can always get away.
Yeah.
We have stayed in San Diego. We rented out a place for like 2 or 3 days just to kind of get away. We needed a break from altitude. So, I mean, we always had the option of just leaving for a few days, but it doesn't get too cold up here, surprisingly. It's been really dry, and we haven't had too many snow days. So it's been it's been working well for runners, I would say.
When you look back at what you've done in your career, and obviously your career is still very young, is there one race that sticks out as your best race? Was it the bronze at the World Championships?
Yes, it was. That will always be my favorite race. That was just a rare moment for me. And honestly, it was just that lane one just opened up, and it was almost like calling, like, this is your race. So, I'll never forget that race. Obviously, I want more races like that, and I'm training really hard and going to try my best to, you know, emulate that or better that performance from 2013.
So is that one of those days where everything seemed not so much effortless, but it just seemed like it wasn't as hard as it normally is?
Yeah, I mean, there's races that feel like this. I can run a 158, and it can feel as hard as a 201.
Right.
Or, you know, vice versa. So, there's a lot of races that I go through that just feel different. Maybe it's just the energy there, or maybe I just feel sharp, or I just feel ready. There's a lot of races where it just feels effortless.
Love it. Hey, Brenda, thank you so much for taking time. Congratulations on everything you're doing.
Thank you.
We will see you at Carlsbad in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you.
take another 20 seconds off. That would be awesome.
Okay, I'll try.
All right, Brenda Martinez has been our guest, one of our favorite people. We are brought to you by the best in women's activewear, Core Sports, Head Sweats, Function Smart Physical Therapy, and Babbittville Radio on iTunes. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.